I tend toward appetizers and side dishes. Amanda almost always does a salad and a dessert, often an ice cream. Margaret's also a baker, and Brannon always brings cocktails. True to form on that night, Melody brought mini brisket sandwiches on soft white buns, and Margaret made tiny ramekins of chocolate chip bread pudding. I made mini mac and cheeses and cups of tomato soup with little grilled cheese sandwiches balancing on top. Casey poured her famous green goddess dressing into the bottoms of juice glasses, then filled the glasses with raw veggies, slim carrots and celery and cucumber. Our friend Emily came in from Michigan with mini loaves of her grandmother's poppy seed cake, which I requested because I love it, especially with coffee for breakfast. There's always a little chaos right when everyone arrives, bringing in hot dishes, shrugging off coats, lifting babies out of car seats. We bump the oven temp up and down. We go into one another's drawers for knives and cutting boards and platters. We chop herbs, assemble sandwiches, dress and toss salads. The once empty spaces of our homes become overrun with baskets, coats, shoes, things we've borrowed and are now returning, cake plates, baby clothes, cookbooks. We swirl around each other, hugging hello, opening wine, lifting down glasses from the highest shelves. Mel and Amanda are always early. Margaret's always late. Mel, Brannon, and I all collect red Le Creuset pans and bakeware, so it can get a little confusing, but Casey has orange everything, so you can always tell what's hers. Brannon's always arriving with what seems like a truckload of furniture and bags, things she's bringing for us to borrow, things she picked up at the store that reminded her of one of us, bassinets and baby slings and bottles. That afternoon, as I got the house ready for Brannon's don't call it a shower, I thought that even though the cooking club always sits around the table, this time it might be nice to sit in the living room. I moved the furniture, made a place for presents, and set up a buffet on the round table in the living room. When everyone was assembled, when there was a fork or serving spoon on each platter, and everything was sliced and warm and ready, I tried to move everyone to the living room, and it just didn't work. I kept urging them toward the buffet, toward the couches and chairs in the living room. Finally, though, I admitted defeat, and we pulled a love seat up to the dining room table for extra seating and settled in happily. That's where we belong, it seems, around the table. When Jocelyn moved to Haiti, she wrote us a letter to say goodbye. And in that letter, she wrote this line, "I can't imagine life without a table between us." Yes. Yes, exactly that. I can't imagine life without a table between us. The table is the life raft, the center point, the home base of who we are together. It's those five faces around the table that keep me sane, that keep me safe, that protect me from the pressures and arrows and landmines of daily life.